So good afternoon again, everybody. Nice to be here. Nice to have visitors with us. My message today is going to be a quick one. The title of my message, I'll give that to you first. What do you have in your house? Okay? God desires that we keep our homes in a way that honors Him, reflecting His principles of righteousness, love, stewardship. Here are a few key biblical principles on how God wants us to keep our house. Number one, a house built on God's word. Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Our homes should be founded on faith in God, with His word as our guiding principle. Second point, a place of peace and holiness. Isaiah 32:18. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. God wants our homes to be places of peace, free from strife, filled with His presence. Three, a house of hospitality. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. We had covered that extensively on our Bible study, I believe, last Wednesday. Fourth point, a house of order and cleanliness. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. A well-maintained and orderly house reflects God's nature of orderliness and discipline. Point five, a place of worship and prayer. And this is in Joshua 24:15, and you can also take that from 14 to 20. The one I'm going to quote is 15. But as for me, my household, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said that right after the house of Israel said they did not want to observe His word. Joshua says, I will. No matter what you do, I will. So we should never let outside influences determine what you will do. Point six, a sanctuary from worldly corruption. And this is from Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And that even goes back to what Joshua said, but that applies to us today. Our homes should be places where God's values are upheld rather than worldly influence. And today, that is a job and a half. Because no matter what you do, you turn the radio on, you turn the TV on, neighbor comes to your door, it's just outside influences today are just challenging us every day. Point seven, a house filled with love and unity. And I stressed love, because God is love. So if you have Him in your house should be full. Above all, love each other deeply, because love can't make it my own writing. Love covers over a multitude of sins. And that's in 1 Peter 4:8. God desires families to live in love, forgiveness, and unity. By following these principles, we can ensure that our homes align with God's will, if we call ourselves Christians, becoming places where His presence dwells. That's the first main part of this. I want to give you a couple examples of what's in your house. And this comes from 2 Kings 4, 1 to 7. The prophet of Elijah asked the widow, "What do you have in your house?" Remember the story? Her two sons were going to be taken away by the bondsman because she had bills. Yes, her husband must have passed away and had bills, and she couldn't pay. So this is what Isaiah said to her. What do you have in your house? And she replied, "Only a little oil. Yet God multiplied it to pay off the debts and sustain her family." So, out of that, you don't have a lot in your house. God will provide if you have faith and you trust in Him. And when a prophet comes to you, pay attention. You don't have to say, "I don't have anything." A little bit of oil can go a long way with God and last and save your family on top of that. Moses' shaft in Exodus 4:2. God asked Moses, "What is that in your hand?" It was a simple staff, but God used it to perform miracles, including parting of the Red Sea. Because as long as he held it up, the sea was parted. So, I just got a stick in my hand. But God can do lots of things with that stick, if you trust him and have faith in him. So it's not what it is, it's the faith of it, what you have with that. That little oil, that little stick, whatever it is. In John 6, 9 to 13, the story of Jesus, I believe this was the one with the servant 5,000. Listen to this. A little boy had only 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but Jesus multiplied it to feed thousands. So when we think we don't have anything, we have God in our house, we have more than we need. And that's kind of one of the things about what do you have in your house. Biggest thing, faith and love and God. So when we turn to that, we want to make sure that we understand that it's not what we have. But the most important thing is to have God in your house and not be ashamed to sing songs, not to be ashamed to read the Bible, not to be ashamed to welcome people into your house. Because when you welcome people in your house, it's a golden opportunity to show love and compassion that God shows on us, reflecting back on them. So that's a very, very important. I want to turn to Psalm 26, 1 to 12. So I'm 26. So I'm 26, 1 to 12. I think this sums things up pretty good when David was speaking. "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes. I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. Verse 6. I will wash my hands in innocency. I will compress thy altar, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving." It's another thing that didn't come. "Tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved thy inhabitation of thy house, and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. But in those hands is mischief, and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations I will bless the Lord. That pretty well sums up not only our house, our congregation, where we live, where we go, where we talk, who we hang around with more so. Remember, in this whole thing, he tells us who he's not going to hang around with. That's extremely important, because sometimes we don't think who we hang around with is all that important. But it is to God. Who we hang around with influences us. Whether we think it does or not, it does. And if you've got a troublemaker sitting beside you, then you know that you're going to end up in trouble. But if you've got a loving, kind person sitting beside you, you know that you're going to have support no matter what you do. So I bring these ideas to you that we, first of all, our attention should be on God. It should be on how we act, how we show ourselves off to people, how we live. And that's extremely important to God, how we live. Because if we don't live properly, he will punish us, whether we wanted to or not. And showing kindness to others. So those things, if we can do those things, I think our house is safe. But I'll put it to you this way. Our house is never safe if Satan's around. So we want to keep Satan out of our house by keeping the Lord in our house and not doing things that we shouldn't be doing.